If you want to be a person of goodness and righteousness, you have to be a person that is driven by truth. And the truth that you see there in verse 9 is the Word of God. That no matter where I am today, no matter how I got here, no matter what is going on in my life right now, as I come to God, I want to live in ways that bring His smile on my life. And I want to live in ways that will meet my ethical and moral obligations that He has given me. And the only way I'm going to do that is by being a person that consistently goes back to God's Word and does it. I literally go to God's Word and I find out what God has said on this matter and then I go do it. I am a person that is driven by truth. Now let's stop for just a minute and let's look at something very, very hard here. Isn't it true? Isn't it true in our lives that this is really the place where it gets very difficult to live the Christian life? Isn't that true? Or am I the only person that has a hard time obeying the Bible? I mean, honestly, there are some days where I don't want to read the Bible because I already know what it's going to say. And I don't want to do it. Right? You say, but you're a pastor. You know what? Pastors have problems just like everybody else does. There are times when I already know what God wants and I don't want to think about it. Because that means if I think about it, I've got to do it. And I've already decided that the doing of it isn't what I want to do. Now stop for just a second. I am committed to loving God. I mean, if you were to stop me at that moment and say, do you love God? I would say yes. I am committed to being a good Christian. If you were saying, now, are you wanting to follow God? I would say yes. But I have already decided that in that particular area, this is what I'm going to do. And so I really don't want to know what God says about it. And so there are just times in my life, and I'm sure this is true in your life, where the circumstances of life really start to come up, and I already know that God doesn't want me to do this. But we've lived in a scenario for all of our life where it is easier to ask forgiveness than it is to ask permission. Right? You learn this as a kid. Now, if I go ask Mom, she's going to say no. But if I go do it, and I didn't ask her, then I can't know that she didn't want me to do it. And I can come back with the I didn't know excuse. And because she's a Christian and loves God and everything, she has to forgive me. Right? So we'll at least get to do it once before I get the big no. Right? That's what I mean by it is easier to ask forgiveness than it is to ask permission. And it's bad enough that we do it with our earthly parents, but folks, we do that with God a lot. We already decide that this is the way we're going to respond, or this is what's going to happen. And so rather than go to God's Word and find out what is the acceptable will of God, we're not going to. We're going to go do it. And you know what, folks? That isn't walking in the light. That is exactly how people in darkness walk when it comes to God. They have no desire to be governed by what God says. And God says, you're not like that anymore. You are a child of light. So here's what a child of light looks like. It looks like a person who is walking in ways that bring God's smile on his life or her life. And that happens because they're meeting their ethical and moral obligations. And the reason they are meeting those obligations consistently is that they are always going back to God's Word. And they are literally determining from God's Word what they need to be doing. And that's the third thing that this passage teaches us. It teaches us, first of all, that walking in light is a mandate, not an option. And then it describes how that looks in our life. It's manifestation in goodness and righteousness and in truth. But thirdly, it tells us exactly how we're to do this. How do we do this? Well, look, if you will, at chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10 tells us how to walk in light. And it just simply lays it out as finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I mean, the way that you are going to walk as a child of light is by consistently going to God's Word and saying to God, what is it that you want out of me in this circumstance. That's the positive side. The negative side is in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So the method that God has given for walking this way involves two things. It involves coming to God's word to find out what is acceptable to him, and coming to God's word and finding out what is prohibited by him. What has God said I can do, and what has God said I'm not to do when I'm in this set of circumstances? If I'm really going to walk in light, because I am light, and I'm really going to do this in every area of my life so that I manifest goodness and righteousness, I'm going to have to be truth-driven. And when I come to the truth, I am looking for two things. I am looking to find out what God has said is acceptable to him in this set of circumstances and what God has prohibited me from doing in these set of circumstances. So let's get very specific in our lives. What has God said you're to do when you encounter somebody who has an issue with you or who has hurt you? God has said to you in certain places in his word, here is exactly how I want you to handle this. And he has said in other places in his word, now here is what you cannot do. Here are things that should never come out of your mouth. Here are things that should never be in your heart toward that person. So in every scenario relationally, God has told us exactly what we're to do and what we're not to do. And a person who walks in light is committed to do this. What about things like financial pressure that comes into our life? Maybe we have a financial downturn, or maybe we have a financial upturn. And all of a sudden we're dealing with a lot less income than we used to have, or we're dealing with more income than we used to have. What would be acceptable to God? Well, God says there are things that I have told you in my word about how to handle every one of those circumstances. And there are also things that I've told you not to do in those set of circumstances. And so if you want to walk in light, you're going to have to go back to God's word and be driven by truth so that you're meeting your ethical and moral obligations, which is righteousness, and you're living in such a way that brings the smile of God on your life, which is goodness. We're going to have to be truth-driven people in our relationships. We're going to have to be truth-driven people in our finances. We're going to have to be truth-driven people in our morals. I mean, here we live in a very immoral world where everybody around us is doing things and saying things and laughing about things that God said not to do. And so you know what God says? Go to my word and find out what I told you to do about this. I told you that certain things were not acceptable to me and they shouldn't be acceptable to you. And I told you certain things that you can't do and that you shouldn't do. I mean, I think you're getting the picture, folks, that walking in the light isn't hard because we don't have information. Walking in light is hard because we like darkness. And that's really the truth. When I walk in darkness, it's typically not because I don't know what's acceptable to God. When I walk in darkness, it's typically because what's acceptable to God isn't acceptable to me. And I've decided, you know what? It's my life. I'm going to do this because I want to do this. I'm going to participate in this because I want to. And it doesn't matter to me that God has said not to. And I don't really care. I don't even want to think about the fact that Jesus died so that I wouldn't do these things. And so I wouldn't suffer the penalty of these things. And the Bible goes as far as to say here in these passages that these are the kinds of things, and this is the kind of heart that God sends people to hell for. And here we are as children of light saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like this. I'm going to act this way. I'm going to talk this way. I'm going to participate in these things. That's why he says in verse 11, and have no fellowship, have no participation in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose or reprove them. Now, folks, this is really the bottom line for you and for me. I mean, here we are at Brookside Baptist Church on Sunday morning, and we're looking at the book of Ephesians, and we have been rejoicing now for many, many months over all of the things that God said he did for us and that we believe he did. And we claim to be children of light. So here's the point. What is the normal, everyday, ongoing, habitual character of your walk look like? Does it look like goodness and righteousness and truth? Or does it look like the works of darkness? I want to say something very hard to you. And I want you to hear it out of the heart in which it's intended. It's not intended to be an in-your-face statement. Although the Bible does give us in-your-face truth. Here's the in-your-face truth that the Apostle Paul gives you. If you are committed to living in the ways of darkness, then you aren't light. Now stop and think about how Paul puts it. He doesn't say you're in darkness or you're in light. He tells you that you are darkness or you are light. What happens in darkness when light comes? We were in darkness the other night. We had a tornado that touched down where we were staying up north, and all of the power went out, and it was pitch black. And fortunately, Beth has a candle collection that numbers into the thousands. And so we got out matches, and we lit these candles that I have been complaining about for my whole marriage. It's like she sees a candle, and it's like me with a book. If I see a book, I have to have it. If she sees a candle, she has to have it. And so we have all these candles, and so we lit these candles. The minute we struck the match, light came, and what happened to the darkness? It was gone. It fled away. Light does not coexist with darkness. It reproves darkness. It removes darkness. So here is the point. However imperfectly you may be living the Christian light, there ought to be evidence that you are light and not darkness. And if you are embracing the ways of darkness, and you are defending the ways of darkness, and you are living the ways of darkness in your family, in your marriage, in your personal private walk, and this is what you defend, you say, I have a right to do this. I am going to do this. Then I want to say to you something very hard. You aren't light. You are darkness. Now, folks, I didn't say that. God said this. When God gives you his nature at salvation, that nature is light. And the nature of light is to reject darkness. And when you aren't rejecting it. Now, folks, it's one thing to be struggling against it and to fall into it. And to struggle your way back out of it and to fall into it again and to struggle your way back out of it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a person who embraces the character of darkness and says, this is what I am. This is what I want to be. This is what I enjoy. It is my right to be like this. That kind of a person isn't light. And it doesn't matter how many times he comes and sits in the church pew or she comes and sits in the church pew. They're not light. Right? Any more than you going inside your garage and standing there. If you just stand there long enough, you might become a car. Okay? That isn't going to happen. You're fundamentally different. A person who is light is fundamentally different than darkness. And so a person who is still darkness can come into a church and be there forever and never be light. Light is an internal transformation that God brings about. Now let me give you the last thing as we end. There is a motivation that God gives us for all of this. There is a mandate, and then there is a manifestation of this in a person's life. And then there is a method being driven by the Word, finding out what is acceptable to God and rejecting that which God has prohibited. So there's a method for this, but there is a motivation for all of this. And you see the motivation here at the end of the section. Look, if you will, down to verse 12 of this. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. So I'm not sure I understand the motivation. Let me help you to see the motivation. The motivation is this. When the light of God's word shines in your life, it reveals the things in your life that the light is trying to drive out. I mean, it's like the difference between being in a room like this and only having one or two of these lights on there would be light. There wouldn't be darkness. But there would be a lot of things in this room that wouldn't be really clear. But the more the light comes, the more the light shines, the clearer things become. And you know, as you are light, as the light of God's word increases in your life, and as God begins to open your eyes more and more and more to God's word, it begins to shine brighter and brighter in your life, and it begins to show you things that you never thought about before that God wants to change. That is what spiritual growth is. You know what spiritual growth is? Spiritual growth is me coming to God's word and God's word showing me another thing I need to change. And you say, when does it stop? It doesn't stop till you get to heaven. It doesn't stop until you look just like Jesus Christ, Romans 8:28. Until you are conformed into the image of His dear Son. And what is going to show you the areas of your life that need to be changed isn't your pastor or your church. It's God's Word. It's God's Word shining in your life and you looking at what that is exposing and is saying, you know what, I really do have a bad attitude to that person. Or I really am struggling with bitterness. Or I really do have an unforgiving heart. Or I really do have a critical spirit. And God says not to have that. And so you know what? I'm going to obey. I'm going to cleanse that out of my life. And all of a sudden, the light exposed and removed. And what was once a dark corner has now become a place of light. So when you and I, as children of light, walk in the light, that light exposes areas of our life that need to be changed and need to be transformed in our marriages, in our relationships with our families, in the way we handle pressures and sicknesses and sorrows and trials, all of that. You say, well, why is that important? Well, remember in verse 8, Paul said something about you. He said that you were light and he has placed you in a dark place. And the dark place is the world. You literally are living in the midst of very, very dark people spiritually who have no light. And all of a sudden you're in their midst and you are light and you're shining the light into their world. And they're looking at you in the same set of circumstances that they're in, except you're different. When you go up to the hospital and you look at two beds and there are two loved ones on that bed. And in one room is a group of believers who are light, and in the other is a group of people who aren't light. Those two groups are acting very differently. And the people who are in darkness are looking over to the people who are light, and they're wondering this, how in the world can they respond that way? I mean, they're in the same condition we're in. When you go to two funerals on the same day and you watch two parents bury small children and one of that set of parents is light and the other is darkness, they are handling it in very different ways. When there is conflict in a marriage and one of the marriages is light and the other is darkness, the conflict is handled in very different ways. When two people are in the same place and they are tempted by sin, to get involved in wicked behavior or to engage in wicked talk. And here is light and here is darkness. And the darkness yields to that pressure and that temptation. There is another person who is in the same temptation and in the same pressure and he doesn't or she doesn't. That light is shining into this darkness. And it is revealing something. It is revealing the difference. It is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says. Awake, you sleeper. And rise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. Right? How is Christ going to shine in dark people? Well, one of the ways that God has designed for that to happen is to take people who are light and let them shine in darkness so that dark people can see the difference and be raised to light as they see Jesus Christ. Just like 2 Corinthians 4:6 says God will do. The same God who caused light to shine in the beginning will shine in their hearts so they will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And how are they going to see Jesus? They're going to see Jesus in you because you are light. And as the Word of God is married to that work of God in your life, that person in darkness will be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, here's the application for all of you who are light. What if you're not living like the light? What if when you're around that person who's darkness, you're just like them? You talk just like them. You do the very same things they do. You respond just like they do. Is there really any light? You are light, but you know what you've done with your light? You've put it underneath the basket of your own selfishness. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody is going to tell me different. And all of a sudden, your light just got covered. And here are people, all in darkness, who literally are going to spend an eternity in hell that God intended for your light to touch. And because of your selfish behavior and your insistence that you're going to do what you want to do, that light never reached them. Now, God has other ways to reach people than us. But if we are the people that God has called to be light and we're darkness, how great is that darkness in us? And ladies and gentlemen, if we are committed to that way of life that consistently obscures our light, there is real question in our hearts about whether or not we really are light. I mean, that is sobering. I mean, that's why the Apostle Paul is so big on him. He says, walk as children of light. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It is a mandate. And every single one of us are to do so. It is so hard. That's why we prayed what we prayed this morning, that we would be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Spirit, because it is hard to live this way, right? It is hard to respond properly in a marriage when pressure comes. It is hard to respond properly when temptation comes to us. It is hard to respond properly when all of a sudden we're assaulted financially or physically or emotionally. It is hard to respond that way. And we don't have the strength in our own heart and in our own life to do it. That's why we need Him to strengthen us in our inner man by His Spirit, right? Now, how in the world are we going to do that? By finding out what God has to say? And by committing ourselves to doing it. And the Spirit of God who dwells in us will step up to the plate and He will help us to do it. The problem is, we're not going to step up until we know for sure the money's in the bank. It's like, I'm not writing a check till the deposit's made. And God doesn't operate that way. God says, you know what? This happens by faith. You've got to step up. And when you step up, it'll be there. My wife and I have been going through, as you well know, as a church, a trial. And many of you have gone through this trial. And you know what? There is no way you can store up the grace that you need for the trial. People say, well, what did you do to get ready? Nothing. Nothing that you aren't doing. I read my Bible. I pray. I try to walk in obedience every day. That's all I know to do. There is no way to store up the grace. But you know what you discover? When you need it, it's there. Every time we have needed an extra measure of grace, every time there was a trial that God knew was coming our way, every time we got a disappointing piece of information, every time we had to do something that we didn't know what we were going to do, God's grace has been right there waiting for us. I mean, really, you can't store it up. You just have to go out on faith. Now, folks, that is the way obedience works. You have to obey first, and then God gives you strength. It's by faith. God isn't going to like put it all in the bank and say, okay, let me show it to you all now. Go do it. He says, go do it, and I'll be there. And you know what? God has been on His throne for a long time, and He has never been late to an appointment. And He won't be late to yours. When you need that grace, it is there. But to get it, you have to obey, and you have to walk in light.